Well, today we are in the midst of worship. And last week we talked about God, and we were supposed to approach Him in awe. And I hope that you've been able to approach God with awe this morning, amazed at who He is. That God who allows us to approach Him in awe is also the God who allows us to approach Him as Abba. And so my prayer is not only do you get to approach God in awe of who He is, but I pray that today that you've already been approaching Him as Father, as Daddy, as the one who loves you. His greatness should have been made aware to you today, and His love should have been made aware to you today as well. Today we're going to continue in our sermon series on how great is our God. And in order to do that, I want us to look at Jesus this morning, the Son of God. And the truth is, in our society, in our world today, if you say that name, you are going to get a response. If you say the name of Jesus, you are going to get a response. Now, within these walls and many other walls like this all over the world today, the response is going to be joy and excitement and gratitude. In fact, I hope that you have responded that way already today. I hope that you have been able to lift up your voice in passion for Him. But if you say His name outside of these walls, you get a different response. If you mention the name of Jesus in our world, you find yourself immediately on the outside looking in. You find yourself ostracized, criticized, and scrutinized. You find out that when you say the name Jesus and that you follow Him, that you're going to find people that say, well, you are narrow-minded and you've been brainwashed. For many, Jesus' name evokes a powerful response. In fact, in our world, if you say the name of Jesus, sometimes people respond with rage. Go to your internet today, just search the name of Jesus, see how many websites spew the most vile and heartbreaking hatred about Jesus. Look around our world today, and you will see some religions of so-called peace kill those who leave their religion to follow Jesus. Hundreds of thousands of people are martyred every year because they name the name of Jesus. If you mention the name of Jesus in our world today, you may find yourself being refuted with ridicule. People make fun of those who follow Jesus. Oh, He's a crutch. You can't handle life, and so you need something to lean on, which is quite true in my case. But I need Him to lean on, but He's there. However, did you know that there's a man in New York City who has developed a dress-up Jesus magnet set? On your refrigerator, you would see the crucified Lord with some briefs on, and then you could take, if you wanted to, different costumes. You could dress Jesus on the cross as a ballerina, or as a dog catcher, or as a clown, or if you really wanted to go all the way, you could dress Him as the devil himself. Mention the name of Jesus and you hear refusal. I refuse to consider His love for me. They refuse to consider His sacrifice. They refuse to consider His desire to save them. In fact, so many refuse anything about Him, His life, His love for them, His ministry, His teaching, His deity. They may think He might have been a good teacher at one time or a prophet of some sort, but any more than that, and they refuse to accept. Today I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. That's where we're going to be this morning. Philippians chapter 2, I want you to hold your finger there. We're going to read some scripture here, but as you hold your finger in there, we're going to be back and forth in Philippians chapter 2 at some different places. But I want to start off by what the Bible says about the name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore God exalted Him, exalted Jesus, to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God makes it very clear. Jesus' name will bring everyone to their knees. One day, everyone who ever was or who is will fall before Jesus and recognize his majesty and recognize his lordship. Philippians 2 reminds us Jesus is Lord. And we are supposed to respond to that fact. One way or another, we're all going to respond to that fact. But before we respond to him correctly, I think it's important for us to better understand who Jesus is. And to do that, I still want to stay in Philippians chapter 2. Now, Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, the very first part of that verse says this: Jesus, who being in very nature God. Now, I want to stop there and talk about that for a minute. Not only is Jesus Lord, but Jesus is God. Now, not God in a little lowercase God, like one of many kinds of gods, but God, the one and only God. He isn't just giving a position of authority. Jesus is authority. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, talking about Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then it goes on. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is God, creator, sustainer, the giver of life. Now you might be thinking, I heard this sermon last week. Didn't we just go over how God deserves our all and all that God has done? That is true. And the truth is, Jesus deserves our all and our all as well. But this sermon today, I want to go a little farther than that. So I want to look at the entire passage here. I want to read it all in context for you. We're going to back up, look at everything in one fell swoop. This is what it says. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. For me, this is one of those passages that when you read, you have got to respond. It demands some kind of response. You can't look at this passage and not be moved to respond one way or another. To me, this is one of those passages that we have to hold on to for our entire lives. In fact, the very first part of this passage says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. This passage demands that we respond to God, to our Savior, to our Lord. This passage shows us who Jesus is, but it also defines what Jesus does. And in that, Jesus calls us to do the same thing. So this morning, as we look at Jesus, God, sustainer, creator, life giver, lover of our souls, as we look at Jesus, who is God, our response should be to follow in his footsteps. So that's what I'm going to look at this morning. How do we follow in Jesus' footsteps? Well, first of all, we follow Jesus in humility. We follow Jesus in humility. Isn't this the best sermon you have ever heard? Man, isn't that humble? Yes. We follow Jesus in humility. Can you even conceive of the humility that Jesus displays here? Can you wrap your mind around? I don't think we can properly do it, but maybe we need to try to do it. Do you understand that God made himself nothing? Can you conceive of the fact that the creator of all things, who spoke things into existence, is the same one who took on flesh of the created. Can you grab hold of the fact that the Almighty chose to be a nobody? Have we grabbed hold of what Jesus did? If you're around my family very long at all, you will recognize that we play a lot of games. We love games. Games is our thing. And so in our family and in our circle of friends, we play games. Now, one of the games we play is this game called The Great Dalmudi. Now, if you've never played that game, that's all right. You can look it up on the internet. It's hard to find those cards, by the way. They're coveted. But anyway, The Great Dalmudi, the game is pretty much basically like this. You deal out all the cards. Whoever goes out first has the highest rank. Every single hand, whoever goes out first, moves up to the top of the pile. They'd be The Great Dalmudi. You got rid of all your cards first. You're The Great Dalmudi. You get the greatest place. However, if you can't get rid of your cards and you're the last ones to still have cards, you are the lowest. We call it the winch. You are the winch or the peon. You're at the very bottom of the stack. Now, I've played this game with my family, and we love to play it. I will tell you this. I have had family members quit the game because they went from the top to the bottom. They quit a card game. Because they went from the top to the bottom. Think about that. Think about that. If a card game invokes this sense of pride, what about life? If a worthless card game can change the way we view ourselves and hurt our ego, what about life? How much harder will it be for us to choose a low position in this world? See, Jesus went from the highest you could possibly be to a created, lowly servant. We're going through a book called I Will in our connection groups this last week. Woo! It was a hard hitter. Tom Rainer had some very pointed remarks. I want to read to you one of those pointed remarks. So brace yourself. These are not Todd's words. These are Tom Rainer's words. But here they are. Here's his pointed words. Listen to what he says. He says, hey, church members, I know that the world says put yourself first. Look after number one. But that's not the way we're supposed to do it. Stop complaining about the music style and what you want. Stop demanding church leaders to do the things the way you'd like them to be. Stop trying to get your way in church business meetings and instead put others first. Put your desires last. Become a servant instead of a whiner and complainer. Tom Rainer said that. Let me make that clear. Keep that in mind because in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, two verses before where we started, this is what it says. Philippians 2, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Jesus showed humility and he said, follow me in humility. Have you been following him in humility? I mean, is that your attitude today? Did you come today making worship about yourself? Or did you come today thinking to yourself, I need to make worship about God and I need to make sure that others get what they need in worship? What about the way we live our life? Is it about me and what I want? I want to be first. I want to be at the front of the line. I want to get all the glory. Or is it about others and what they need? Philippians chapter 2. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Nothing. Follow Jesus in humility. As an extension, we need to follow Jesus in service. The second thing we need to do is follow Jesus in service. Jesus' humility led him to service and ultimate sacrifice for that service. It wasn't enough for Jesus just to live with us. His service required him to sacrifice for us, himself, completely. Die on the cross for me, for you, for everyone else. Jesus' service led him to the cross, and that should be the goal of our service too, to go to the cross on behalf of others. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says this, Jesus talking, then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Do you remember Jesus in the upper room? The night before he's betrayed, he's in the upper room. They're getting ready for the Passover meal, which was a big celebration. I mean, this is huge. Getting ready for the Passover meal. He's wanting to spend time with his disciples. He knows he's going to be betrayed. He knows he's going to be crucified. I'm sure he's wanting to get his mind right with God. You remember what he does? He gets a basin of water and a towel, and he washes his disciples' feet. All that stuff going on in Jesus' life. Crucifixion on the verge. Knowing that that's coming. All the stress of that. All the desire to spend this meal with those he loves. And what does he do? Serves. Serves. Now, after he serves, washes his disciples' feet, in John 13, 15, he says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Have we been doing that? Have we been doing that? I'm not talking about washing each other's feet. That's fine. That's not a bad thing. What I'm talking about is, have we been serving others, placing their needs above ours, sacrificing and putting aside what is on our minds so that we can focus on what is their needs? There was a student at a Bible college in the Philippines, and he became very disturbed. He was very upset because when he would use the men's restroom, it was filthy. It was being neglected. And day after day, he was so mad that the men's restroom was not on the cleaning routine, the cleaning schedule. He felt like nothing was being done. And so he finally took matters into his own hands. And he went and he complained to the principal of the school. He said, the bathroom's filthy. A little later, the student noticed that the problem was being corrected. But he saw with amazement that the man with the mop and the pail in his hand was the principal. Later, the student commented, he said, I thought that he would call the janitor, but he cleaned the toilets himself. And then he said, it was a major lesson to me on being a servant. And of course, it raised a question in my mind as to why I hadn't taken care of the problem myself. Maybe that's the question we need to ask ourselves this morning. Why haven't I taken care of the problem? Why haven't I taken care of the problem? Anybody in here ever complain? Okay, I'm the only one. I'm going to complain that I'm the only one. I complain. I've been thinking about this in this sermon. I've been thinking about it. Maybe our complaints, my complaints, are actually God making us aware of an opportunity to serve. Have you ever thought about that? Whatever you're complaining about, maybe that's God laying on your heart something that you could serve in, somewhere that you could provide a service. Whatever you're complaining about this morning in your mind or this week or next week, maybe ask yourself, maybe it's an opportunity for me to serve here. How can I eliminate this issue? Last week, did you serve? This week, will you serve? See, last week we approached God in awe, as Abba. This week, Jesus calls us to respond to Him by following in His humility and in His service. The question I have is, am I meeting that call? Are we meeting that call? Are we representing the Lord as He wants us to represent Him? Dr. Larry Payton, he says this. He says, when I was in college at Dallas Baptist University, I drove through Dallas on my way to my class. I would always see a huge sign of this dynamic church in town. And the sign said, lifting up the name of Jesus. He says it was a very impressive sign. He said, one day while I was driving to school, I noticed that workers were tearing down the church sign. And as I drove by, I saw the name of Jesus being ripped off the advertising board. And then he said this. He said, it hit me so hard. I started thinking, Lord, is that what we are doing in our church today? Are we tearing down the name of Jesus by living mediocre lives? Are we tearing down the name of Jesus by living selfish lives? Are we tearing down the name of Jesus by living prideful lives? You see, God has lifted Jesus' name to the name above all names so that all people should be drawn to Him. And God help us if we, as part of His body, are tearing down the name of Jesus instead of building up the name of Jesus. What about your life? What is it saying about Jesus? Is your life proclaiming that Jesus is God and Savior and Lord? Is your life proclaiming that your knee has bowed before Him and your life is humbly serving after Him? What is your life saying about Jesus? Will you pray with me? God, I thank You for all You bless us with, and we come this morning recognizing what You have done through Your Son. That He did die on our behalf. That He did come to save us. That He came to bring us hope. That He came to change our lives completely. The destiny that we were on completely. Lord, we're so very thankful that Jesus, God, Creator, Sustainer, is the one who showed us humility and service. And so it is my prayer today for each of us here that that's the attitude that we will follow, that we will have that same passion for others, that we will be a people, a church defined by loving others, by sacrificing for others, by caring for others, and thereby lifting Jesus' name high. Lord, thank You for His example. We thank Jesus for being our Savior, our Lord, and our God. And we pray this all in His name, the name that is above every name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.